Hello and welcome back. This is your host, Trainer Mitch, with the Pick Up Your Cross Daily Podcast. And today's episode, we are going to be in chapter 4 still. And we are going to be talking about Jesus' ministry whenever he first starts. So this is the very beginning, whenever he begins spreading the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we are in Matthew chapter 4. And the first, I guess I'm just going to start reading from verse 12, because there's a part in here that I want to talk about that is fulfilling prophecy. So starting in 12, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." So that section there, 15 and 16, is the words of Isaiah. So now if we flip back to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, we can see the same text here. So he's talking about sanctifying the Lord of hosts, seeking the law and the testimony, and a great light here in chapter 9. So it starts, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." So you can see almost the same verbiage used in Isaiah, which is Old Testament, in New Testament, Matthew. So Jesus continues to fulfill prophecy over and over and over again. So that's what's really interesting about the gospel, is once you learn the gospel, you can then see the massive web that's involved in the whole Bible, which is Jesus. Jesus is at the center of everything. And you can trace that web, that cobweb of whatever it was, back to Jesus. Like when I first started the podcast, and go back to episode 2 or 3 or something like that, we started in Genesis. In the very beginning of the Bible, he begins with talking about Jesus, the guy that is going to bruise his heel on the head of the serpent. That's Jesus. So once you start to read the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Revelation, then you can gather a deep understanding of Jesus, which then it kind of gets into some spirituality concepts of, are you going to be touched by the Holy Spirit? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and to wake you up? You know, everyone's always talking about the Great Awakening. So the Holy Spirit can literally replace your stone heart with a new heart of flesh that loves God and that has God in it. So God does the work. Jesus does the work in you to reveal himself to you. That's what the gospel does. The gospel reveals Jesus to you throughout the whole Bible. So anything that you read, basically, can be traced back to him. So that's the main message here with that. But I want to continue on and jump to 17, where Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I think that's really powerful. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it is right here at hand. It's happening right now. Here I am. Let's go. So he's like, he started. This is it. This is like him beginning his mission on this planet, was to come here and spread the kingdom of heaven and the gospel of the kingdom. So he starts healing people, Yeah, well, first he gets his disciples, so I don't want to skip that part. So I think that's really cool too, and something fun to talk about is, so he, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting nets into the sea, and he walks up to them, and Jesus goes, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So I'm not sure if there's anything missing out of the Bible. I'm sure there might have been some more dialogue there with Jesus and these strangers, because I don't know, it just, unless there was like this magical aura around Jesus and like a spiritual awakening with these individuals, and Jesus was like walked up to these random people and like, "Hey, you're picked and I choose you, follow me." And they were like, okay, this guy, we're gonna go after this guy. And there had to have been some type of connection there of like, this is it, this is the guy, this is what we were supposed to do. Because why would you just like leave your father in a boat and be like, "All right, Dad, you're gonna take care of this, right? You're gonna finish up here, we're gonna follow this guy." Like, imagine Zebedee, he's like, "Where are you guys going? You guys gonna follow this dude? You don't even know this guy." So I'm not sure if there's more dialogue there, but I always think that's kind of funny to think about, of the perspective of the disciples initially getting picked and called and selected to follow Jesus and be their disciple, be his disciple. I always think that's pretty interesting. And then it continues on. So then Jesus begins his healing ministry. So he's traveling to these different places that were mentioned in that prophecy. And he's teaching in the synagogues. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So he's doing things like people with torments and devil possession, people that are lunatic, those that had palsy. He healed all sorts of things like that. And if you remember in the prophecy, it says, we flip back here, he lightly afflicted the land first, and then grievously afflicted Jordan and Galilee. So he kind of like sprinkled in some healing in certain areas, and then like he got more and more serious as it went on and as he traveled some more. So that's an important part too. One last thing that I'll touch on and then this will be it, was the spiritual warfare. So I talk about that a lot. And it's all through the Bible where there are people that have demon-possessed bodies and somebody has to come there and cast demon out, or they're labeled as like a lunatic or they're possessed and like they're just like, they're basically exiled and they're like, "We don't know what to do with this person." Like in the Old Testament, "We don't know what to do with this person. We can't heal them. We don't know what's going on." And yeah, they're just crazy. So that was a common thing. People were literally possessed by demons. Common thing. It happens today. Exorcisms, they made a movie about it. It's legit. It happens. And Jesus started casting those spirits out of people. And that's important because it brings more of a practical, physical level of the spiritual warfare. It's like tangible, right? So you can see somebody is acting super crazy, they're demon possessed, and Jesus calls them out through his power, through his name, and they are healed. The demon leaves that person and goes somewhere else, and they are no longer tormented by that evil spirit. So that's very easily to see. But the things that are harder to see in the spiritual warfare is like the sinful natures that we have and the hidden agendas that are in today's world that we get kind of trapped in and locked in. And if you have the eyes to see, you can see all that kind of stuff, but it's still really hard to make that more tangible to the masses. So this is more tangible to the masses, where you can literally see it, you can touch it, you can feel it. And it's like, okay, that person was possessed, now they're not, that was cool. Okay, that's real. I can see that happening. So that's the real spiritual warfare. It happens all through the Bible. Jesus constantly is casting out spirits. And even later, once Jesus tells his disciples to go out into the world, the disciples do it as well. So they travel city to city, and they cast out evil spirits in Jesus' name. So they say like things like, in Jesus' name, you are forbidden to be here, or I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. And I've done that in my life too, just being super stressed out and I'm working. It just feels like the devil is just hanging on me and he's just like making me mess things up all day long. I literally take a second and I'll say out loud, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan. And like the one time I did it, I got like chills all through my body and the rest of the day was great. The rest of the day flowed. There was no mess ups. There was no mistakes. And it was amazing. And I've even had a lot of demonic possession dreams where I'm having a dream and I like am abruptly awoken by like a very strange demonic sound. And I'll pray and then I'll cast spirits out and protect myself in Jesus' name, because the power is in his name. That is the most important part, is Jesus, the Son of God, has the power. He rules everything. He rules and reigns. He's the King of Kings. And that's one of another very important part of the gospel. Okay, so before I get off on too many bunny trails there, that's going to be today's lesson. And next we'll be into the Beatitudes. And this will be fun because there's a lot of good stuff in the Beatitudes. A lot of people interpret them differently, I've heard. And I studied them with a friend, and it was very interesting. So we'll probably spend a few episodes on that, which is chapter 5 in Matthew. And I think Matthew does the best with explaining the Beatitudes, I'm pretty sure. Don't fact check me on that, but yeah. So yeah, with that being said, thanks for listening. Have a great day. I'll see you next time.